Welcome into A to Z Sports, powered by the BetMGM app. I'm Austin Stanley. He is Zach Bingham. Make sure you follow us all over social media. We are Nashville's on-demand sports.network, going live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch every weekday morning at 8 Central Time. The link to the show on our Twitter feed, on our Instagram story as well. Also hit us up on TikTok, because we're over 20,000 followers on TikTok all of a sudden as well. So hit us up there. Got to thank our sponsors because they make it happen for our show and they help out you guys with Wilson County Hyundai. Make them a part of your new car buying process by going to see them in Lebanon or simply wilsoncountyhyundai.com. Farm Bureau Health Plans. Get better with Farm Bureau Health Plans. Better coverage, better rates, better service. Learn more about a health plan for you, fbhp.com/ATOZ. And like Jared says, I can stand the whole show because of the Bone and Joint Institute, boneandjointtn.org, the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. So, Zach, I do think I'm glad you gave credit to Reed Besh and Jake Evans, who are making the magic work behind the scenes from all the practice content that Sam and I have been feeding Jake and Reed over the last 6 days. But we're going to have a lot of great stuff on our YouTube channel after today. Hopefully we get more one-on-ones that we can get for you guys in full pads. But yesterday, Zach, the practice show was stolen by multiple rookies, but really by Roger McCreary. Roger McCreary, Zach, had 5 pass breakups yesterday alone. Like, he's been good throughout the first 4 days of training camp. The pads came on yesterday for the first time in practice number 5, and he was really damn good. Again, 5 pass breakups in the one practice yesterday. There were Tannehill throws in there. The majority of them were Woodside throws. But Roger McCreary, I was a part of a scrum talking to him a couple days ago. This was Saturday. And John Glennon asked him about going up against bigger wide receivers because he's 5'10". He's under 200 pounds, around 190, 195. He's got the short arms that we've all heard about in the pre-draft process. But Roger McCreary is showing out against the Titans' big bodies.
Oh, yeah, almost definitely. I mean, I wouldn't get physical guys in college, but now it's different now because you can't, like, touch on them after 5 yards and stuff. So that's something I had to get adjusted to about, like, keeping my, like, maintaining away from them, my distance and everything. So it is just me learning throughout the whole week, but I'm still working on it. I haven't done that yet, but I'm still working.
And it's certainly not the first time for you that you've had to sort of overcome not necessarily being the biggest guy out there, something that's a little bit old hat for you to do that, but
now. Yeah, most definitely. One of my skills is to be more quicker than a guy because they're more big and everything. So that's what I focus on, even if they push off anything. It's just all about me reacting fast and getting right back on the hill.
So, Zach, your thoughts on hearing Roger McCreary there and Stephen Dobbs says he may have short arms, but that dude is jacked. Yeah, the short arms definitely show the muscle definition off a lot there too. But, Zach, your thoughts on Roger McCreary right there?
Well, he's actually, he's listed a little taller than you gave him credit for. You gave him 5'10",
5'11
and 3/8". 5'11 and 3/8". So, that's what it says.
He's got tall hair, though.
Hey, it counts. It counts.
I guess. I mean, it's like the NBA when they measure guys' height.
Like Jared Allen for the Cavs, who's got a fro that is now like 7'4". Right, he's not 7'4".
Right. But Zach, your thoughts, talking about Roger McCreary, 5 pass breakups yesterday. 2 of them were in one-on-ones. 1 of them was on Treylon Burks when they were on the 10-yard line going in, and it was a jump ball situation. You know, maybe Roger McCreary's taller than I gave him credit for. Maybe he's 5'11", closer to 6 foot. But Burks is a lot bigger than Roger McCreary is. And Roger McCreary was able to beat out Burks on a jump ball situation in the end zone. We'll talk about Burks more later on. But then he had 3 pass breakups in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills. The 7-on-7 drills, Zach, he had back-to-back plays with pass breakups. 1 on NWI in the slot when Tannehill was throwing the ball, and then the next snap when Woodside came in on Dez Fitzpatrick across the middle. So Roger McCreary showing out, and then later on in full 11-on-11 red zone work in the end zone, jump ball situation against Racy McMath, knocking that football away, and the Titans put out the video of that yesterday too. So your overall thoughts on Roger there.
Yeah, well, Omar says quick acceleration. So when I watch and have watched McCreary's film from Auburn, and obviously, you know, watching some of the videos that we've put out and from what you and Sam have seen, I look at Roger McCreary and how I describe him, not my two words wouldn't be quick acceleration, but tight aggressiveness. I feel like in close quarters when he can get that, and wide receivers are trying to get separation, he can get aggressive when the ball is coming there. That's what good corners are able to do, tight aggressiveness. But not too aggressive to get the flag, right? Not to be the pass interference. I think that's kind of why they drafted him, is to be, to have that, I mean, that chip and that aggressiveness for some of these wide receivers. And you heard him right there in the clip of the interview, is he's kind of got to get used to that 5-yard barrier, right? After 5 yards, you've got to play a different game in the pros. And yeah, you're playing against a different type of player in professional wide receivers, whether they're 6'4 and can go over the top like some of the big wide receivers in the NFL, or whether they're small and shifty. He's going to be facing a lot of different wide receivers that are big and small, shifty and have size. And he's got to be able to hone that tight aggressiveness where it doesn't get him in trouble, mm-hmm, and he's able to stay with his guy.
Yeah, no doubt. Ryan says the Titans got a first-round corner. Don't know how he fell to the second. And I remember from draft night when I was in the live draft show with Austin Huff and Jack Gentry right here on these platforms. All three of us were slightly confused about the Roger McCreary draft pick at 35 overall, because you didn't think corner was a need there. You thought that might be an overdrafting spot for McCreary. But once you got to watch him and to learn about him and all the different stats and how he's got a lot of high pass breakups, he didn't give up a lot of yards against Alabama. He didn't give up a lot of yards against Treylon Burks versus Arkansas. So you start to see his stats in those big games for Auburn in the SEC West last season, and you like him. And one word that Titans receivers have used to describe Roger McCreary is sticky. And nobody likes sticky things. If you have something on you that is sticky, you want desperately to get it off. And so imagine just thinking of from a wide receiver's mentality of thinking, God, this guy is all over me. I can't get rid of him. He's annoying the crap out of me. I can't get rid of this sticky guy who's covering me up and down the field. He's got the long speed. He's got the quickness and his closing speed. And in that interview, I was talking with Roger McCreary Saturday with John Glennon and Buck at that point. And so I asked him, I was like, you have that closing speed. And it's all about how he tries to recognize when receivers getting out of their breaks to where he can really close that gap. And I've seen that in effect a couple of times. And he's using his short arms to his benefit by being sticky. He's able to have his arms within striking distance of the football, whether it's a deep ball to NWI that we saw on Saturday as well. We posted that on our social media too, that you can go check out. But Roger McCreary is off to a fantastic start, and 5 pass breakups alone yesterday. I don't know if I've seen one corner do something like that in a singular practice like Roger McCreary did yesterday.
Well, I feel like the Titans coaching staff, and even we were excited and high on Roger McCreary heading into camp, that he could perform with the big dogs early on, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at, and this kind of leads us into our question, which is kind of the DBs overall, look at where the other two guys were drafted. You know, Christian Fulton out of LSU was projected as a first-round pick, but had some off-field stuff that maybe dropped him where I felt like the Titans got value. Caleb Farley's the same way. Caleb Farley was injured, right? He had that back procedure. Caleb Farley was supposed to be in the top 3 corners of that class that were, the other two were drafted in the high, you know, yep, teens and tens, right? Yep. And he dropped because of his back, and the Titans tried to find value there. So maybe this DB group as a whole has a lot more talent than where they were actually drafted. And if McCreary comes on like he has been coming on, this is the reset, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Austin. This is the reset that John Robinson did. You know, John Robinson has to know as a general manager when to move on from a player. We discussed A.J. Brown at length yesterday, right? He made that decision that he needed to move on in that situation from that player. John Robinson, and you can kind of see the chess pieces starting to move when he moved on from Logan Ryan, Malcolm Butler, and guys like that, and Adoree Jackson, And he said, okay, that group of corners, those are done. We need to find our new crop. And this is the first year that I feel like we are going to see that three-headed monster compared to what that three-headed monster accomplished. And I know Logan Ryan got hurt, but when Logan Ryan got hurt against the Giants, he was playing some of his best football as a corner, right?
Yeah.
Time has changed and time has moved on, but Titans fans got to feel pretty good heading into this season about what the cornerback position can be.
Yeah, and Jonathan adds, even Elijah Molden was supposed to go higher than where the Titans got him late in that third round.
That's fair.
A couple of years ago in the draft as well. Same draft as Caleb Farley. All right, here's the question, Zach. And I'm curious because we'll talk. Somebody, Xavier asked, how's Theo Jackson looking? I've got an update on Elijah Molden that we can talk about as well. And we haven't really mentioned much of Caleb Farley and Christian Fulton so far in camp. But want to get to this question. What's one word to describe how you feel about the Titans DBs right now in camp? So this includes the safeties and includes everybody, Byard, Hooker, Theo Jackson, and all the corners that I just mentioned. What's one word to describe how you feel about the Titans defensive backs in camp so far? But first, Zach, tell everybody about Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Yeah, FBHP.com is where you need to go to change your health plan. I changed mine earlier this year, and I'm very glad that I did. They've been great to me, and they can be great to you. Farm Bureau Health Plans, better coverage, better rates, better service. And if you're in the state of Tennessee, they got 200-plus locations across the state. Memphis, Chattanooga, Nashville, Knoxville, Columbia. We've been to their headquarters. Yeah. So they will help you out. They have helped me out, and I am very, very glad that they did. It took a quick health assessment where they ask you a bunch of questions. You answer them openly and honestly, and after that, they go back. They do the then they spit out a quote. And that quote for me, which was awesome, was 20% less dollars, straight cash, homie, than I was paying with my previous health plan. And so I was like, I'm going to call them and cancel today. So I canceled my old plan, and that took me – I tried to cancel immediately. They tried to get me through this, like, jargon of, well, you got to wait 30 days. I go, no. You're going to send me a check for the money that I have already paid you that I'm not going to use, and I'm moving to Farm Bureau Health Plans. Bye-bye. Goodbye. And then I said, hello. Hello to Farm Bureau Health Plans, and it has helped me tremendously. That's FBHP.com/ATOZ.
Don't forget, download the BetMGM app. It's August. Nick said 9 days away from a Titans preseason game. We're just 2 days away from the Hall of Fame game in the NFL to kick off the NFL preseason. But you guys can join the BetMGM family and download the app. Use our code ATOZ Sports, and you get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 with your first bet after your first deposit. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 or older, Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions, subject to qualification, eligibility requirements. Rewards issued with non-withdrawable free bets or credit. Free bets expire 7 days. For problem game support, call Tennessee Redline 800-889-9789. Zach, tons of comments.
Tons of comments. Tons of words.
Now, luckily, these comments are one word. One word to describe how you feel about the Titans DBs right now in training camp.
Do you have your word locked and loaded?
I do not, because I was...
I'll give you some time, but I got to have it. We have to have your word. So be thinking about it. Be prepared and have your word. My word is unique. That is not my word. My word is unique.
I have a couple options for my word.
I just need one. I don't need five.
Okay, go ahead.
So we're going to go to the comments. Mine is a unique word. My word is not unique. So let's go to Sean. He says optimistic, confident from Steven, anxious from Eric. Steven says optimistic, hype from Sin City Titan. Chris says solid, amazing from DK Titan. Carlos says insured, lockdown from Jonathan, secure from Titans Kyle, enthusiasm from Scott, stacked from Austin Bond, cousin of James Bond, 007. Where's Lou Man? Oh, there's Lou Man. Here's our other 007 agent. He says optimistic, anxious by Big Titan TV. Shane says hopeful, potential from Stefan. I was wondering how Molden was after the injury. And Austin will update you. Yeah. Let me keep going through some words.
Yeah.
Before Austin gives his word and I give my word, we will give you that Molden update. Young coming in on YouTube. Steven says joyous, excited, refreshed from Jalen, comfortable from Dylon. Sticky, icky, right there from Sin City Titan. I think he'd already done a word, but right there, sticky. Excited coming in from Ethan and Cody. Stellar from Chris. A lot of excited there from Kevin. Dogs from Tall Texan, 927 Table. Solid from Bama Brad, 1970. We got some really good usernames coming in too. Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Washington. That's a easy. You got me. Well, Deshaun Watson will only be out six games. Deshaun Washington is free and clear. He's optimistic. Tighten up says good. Intrigue from Derek. So those are some words, and more words are coming in.
Yeah.
Give us a Molden update, and then us your word.
So Elijah Molden did not practice yesterday. Again, I caught that video Friday in the bubble, which whenever you go on the turf, you always kind of wonder what's going to happen. But he stumbled, tripped over the turf in a tip drill focused on, you know, not knowing where the ball, reacting where the ball was. Ball landed at his feet, so he had to kind of go down, stumbled over his foot or ankle or knee or something, went down, hobbled off. It looked like it was his right leg. That was early. First drill of Friday's practice. Haven't seen him since. He missed Saturday and he missed yesterday, which has allowed Roger McCreary to take more reps in the slot with the top team. Typically, Roger McCreary has been outside corner on the second group, with Fulton and Farley being the top two corners there. But that is the update on Elijah Molden. We'll see out here in about an hour if Elijah Molden is back out there at warmups, and stay tuned to our Twitter feed at A to Z Sports for an update on Elijah Molden. So my one word, Zach, had a couple different directions I could go, but I'm going to go with diverse, and it's diverse skill sets. And the only thing they're not diverse in is age, because Kevin Byard's the oldest guy and he's like 28. And so they are young, but they are diverse in their skill sets, because you've got the length and top end speed of Caleb Farley. You have the stickiness and quickness of stature with guys like Roger McCreary and Elijah Molden. You've got the overall leadership and the savviness of Kevin Byard.
Well, these are DBs, right? So we're not doing safeties, are we?
Defensive backs. What is a safety?
A safety is
a defensive back.
I'm concentrating on the corners.
The question's DBs, right? So,
well, we haven't mentioned a safety yet until you mentioned. That's why I was concentrating on corners because of McCreary.
Safeties are a part of the group that says DBs when they break it down from the huddle.
I understand that. We're concentrating on corners. All right,
if you want to focus on corners, we'll focus on corners. All right, so I'll stay with the corners. So forget what I said about Kevin Byard. Christian Fulton has the fluidness of having good hips, great flexibility, acceleration, kind of everything, and ball skills along with it. So the diversity of skill set for these Titans corners looks really strong, because you've got guys who can do everything. Caleb Farley, I believe it was yesterday, they kind of blend together at this point, but there was a crossing route late in the play in 7-on-7, and Farley, it was a good pass from Tannehill across, you know, the field, and Farley just used his length, long arm, to just knock it down, you know, and it was a great play. And if it was caught and Farley was maybe a couple inches shorter, then maybe that's a catch and turn up the sideline for a nice gain. But you really like what you see from the diverse skill sets these Titans corners have.
So the reason why I want to concentrate on corners is obviously McCreary is our feature for today because of the five plays that he made yesterday. And my word is peace. Peace is not like peace sign, peace on earth, which is hard to achieve. Mine is, don't you believe that the corners are the missing piece for this defense to be the best defense in the league?
Yeah, like
I believe in Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker. I believe in Zach Cunningham and David Long Jr. And the front four may be the best in the league heading in, at least on paper, heading into this season. The corners, I believe, are that missing piece of, because I don't know. They are diverse. I believe that. I think you got that right. But I don't know what Caleb Farley is actually going to be, because we haven't seen him enough based on him tearing his ACL last year. Christian Fulton has got to stay healthy, but when healthy last year, he played very good football. And then McCreary, there's a lot of question marks heading into the season, but those question marks, I feel, and based on his production so far, the answers could be amazing, right? So that's how I view this defense. The piece is the corners that could excel them to be the number one or top five defense, or prevent them from being as good as they can be?
Yeah, I don't disagree. It feels like these this group of corners is very boom or bust, right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a likeliness of them being a bust, but like, if you want to say like the one thing that's not diverse about them is that they are all young, right? Like, I think Christian Fulton's barely 24 years old. Caleb Farley's young. Roger McCreary's young. Elijah Molden young. Chris Jackson is probably 25, but he's in his fourth year, right? So of the Buster Screen retired. So youth creates mistakes, which is where mistakes get you beat. So I think that's where the one youth movement of this group does have some potential to burn you at times, because they just don't know everything. They don't know what they don't know. They've only played so many games and seasons. Caleb Farley is basically a rookie. He tore his ACL in his first start in like week six. So I think I don't disagree with your word either, that they could be the corners could be the piece that takes the Titans defense and solidifies them in the top five, or that has them maybe fringe top 10 defense because they give up some big plays and they have some wide receivers that beat them.
Yeah. And looking at the wide receivers and some of the veteran experience or successful wide receivers that they play, I mean, early on, they're going to have to go against Stephon Diggs and Devontae Adams in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
And then you look down, Travis Kelce, you know, the Chiefs no longer have Tyreek Hill, so you don't have to worry about him. But, you know, Green Bay doesn't, you know, is it going to be Lazard? They don't have that piece. Denver has Judy, but he's still young. Jamar Chase, they are going to see. Obviously, A.J. Brown against Philadelphia, and Keenan Allen. There's really only about six games. They've got good quarterbacks that they're facing, but there's really only about six out of the 17 games where I look at the best wide receiver on the field could give a young guy fits. And they also have the benefit of Keenan Allen and A.J. Brown. Those are all, and CeeDee Lamb I would throw into the mix. Those are all late in the season. It's really going to be Diggs and Adams, which are early on in the season, because they're wide receivers. An experienced wide receiver can eat your lunch. He just can. Like, whether it's getting off of his break, whether it's getting off of the line of scrimmage, whether it's making that move, whether it is being on target with his quarterback for back shoulder throws,
yeah.
I mean, whatever it is, looking to see if the defense is going to give help. You know, there's so many different ways that an experienced wide receiver can take advantage on an inexperienced wide receiver. All three of the Titans corners in Caleb Farley, in Christian Fulton, and McCreary, they have got to make sure that they don't get had by the experience they're going against. I think that's right. Going to be something to watch early on.
That's a good point. And I saw, I think it was Bob. Bobby Dingman earlier about mistakes create experience, right? And the nature of training camp, there's a lot of reps. Wide receivers win in a lot of drills because the drill is set up for them to win in a one-on-one or a seven-on-seven, though pass rush. But the DBs win at times too. Typically more in team drills is where DBs win because there is a pass rush. But at times throughout this camp, I've seen Fulton get burnt on day one by NWI and by Burks, and then by Burks again yesterday. We'll talk about Burks here in a second. I seen Caleb Farley get flat out mossed by Robert Woods a couple days ago as well. And then I've seen Roger McCreary get beat on one-on-ones and fall down against Treylon Burks and some others too. So they all get beat, but they're also making and Jay Streets was the commenter there, but they also have been making plays as well. I've seen all three of those guys make big plays throughout training camp practice in the first 5 days.
And here for a young corner, here's the little bay salt that sprinkles on top. How are you mentally? Once you get beat, are you going to get in your head? Are you going to get in your feels? Are you going to get so upset because that's not you? And then Devontae Adams sits there and Ryan brings this up. Adams cooked the Titans in Green Bay in that cold, wintry storm on Sunday Night Football a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Adams, now, again, different quarterback. Derek Carr is not Aaron Rodgers. But how are you going to be in the mental aspect of the game once you make a mistake? Mistakes are going to happen. You just can't be perfect in football, right? Yeah. So that, I think, is the big thing to watch on these young corners early on in the season.
No doubt. One thing we have not really seen except for yesterday, interceptions. So the corners need to get their hands on the football. Now, Roger McCreary had 5 pass breakups yesterday alone. He could have had an interception on Racy McMath from Woodside in the back of the end zone during 11-on-11, but he could not bring it in. Maybe if his arms weren't so short, he would have gotten that interception. I say that in jest as a joke. But Roger McCreary, great practice yesterday with 5 pass breakups. So let's flip it over to the other rookie who balled out yesterday, because it wasn't just Roger McCreary, it was Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks caught touchdowns on back-to-back passes in 7-on-7. And the second one was really interesting, and we'll talk about that. And also the question here, is it too early or is it time to raise your rookie expectations for Treylon Burks? But first, let me tell you guys about the Bone and Joint Institute. I'm standing up for 30-plus minutes so far today, and I'll be standing up for the next several hours at Titans practice and doing the show, all because I can, because the Bone and Joint Institute helped fix my plantar fasciitis last month. So whenever you get hurt in life, and that just happens, sometimes life gives you an injury and you never see it coming, you never plan for it, but you got to know where and be prepared to go to get back on track. And the Bone and Joint Institute did that for me. It's done that for several of my friends. It's done that for Zach in the past as well. Boneandjointtn.org. They do have a doctor who specializes in any type of joint injury you could possibly think of. Go check them out in Franklin, Brentwood, Nolensville, or Thompson Station. Boneandjointtn.org.
A little homework as I talk about BetMGM for you, Austin.
Yeah.
The one Titan you think of when you hear the phrase iron sharpens iron. Don't say it. Mm. Don't say it yet. Scoop brings up iron sharpens iron. The one Titan in the history of us covering the team that you think of when you hear the phrase iron sharpens iron. Well, iron sharpens iron into $1,000 risk-free bet when you talk about BetMGM. Use the promo code ATOZ Sports and you get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 when you put $500 down, $600 down, $100 down, $999 down. You get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 for new users. You can sign up today. That's code ATOZ Sports on BetMGM. Download the app today.
You mean to answer the question?
Yeah.
Iron sharpens iron. I mean, there's probably been a lot of guys who have said that, but immediately Nate Washington comes to my mind.
Ding, 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 ding. That is a Nate Washington. When I hear iron sharpens iron, I vision Nate Washington in the locker room saying iron sharpens iron. That was his favorite saying when we used to interview
him. It was. And Nate was always a good interview too. So anyway, all right. Treylon Burks, back-to-back touchdown catches and 7-on-7 work yesterday. And the question, is it too early or is it time to raise your rookie expectations on Treylon Burks? Because it's less than a week ago, we had not seen Treylon Burks in training camp, right? So in 1 week's time, he's gone from the biggest question mark on the Titans roster to a guy who
Time. I would say the biggest question mark as the first round wide receivers drafted this past season.
Okay, well, I'm simplifying it towards Titans training camp. But in Titans training camp, he's gone from the biggest question on the roster to a guy who caught back-to-back touchdowns on the first day of pads yesterday. And he did it in pretty impressive fashion. Now, the first one was over Christian Fulton in 7-on-7 from Ryan Tannehill. The very next play, Treylon Burks back shoulder jump ball, turning, contorting his body, big paws on the football in the end zone with Zach Cunningham, of all people, guarding him. Now, Zach Cunningham was guarding him because of the interesting lineup the Titans used. And that's all I can say. The interesting lineup the Titans used on that play. But Treylon Burks looks the part. And he's so much healthier, so much more explosive than when we saw him in the spring. And just he catches the ball so naturally, effortless over the shoulder in that drill. When he's coming out of the chutes, he's got one of the better starts in the first 5 yards of the Titans receivers And you're seeing him never take a rep off. Again, back-to-back touchdowns in 7-on-7 reps, Zach, tells me that the dude's in shape and he's going out there and making a play. And I feel like it is time for me to raise my expectations for Treylon Burks.
It's too early for me. How many days of camp has been?
5 practices.
So,
well,
let me correct.
5 practices have been open to the media. Apparently the Titans had 2 secret practices before the open to the media. Cause Caleb Farley had interceptions in those.
Ed's getting the clay out because Ed's saying time for his bust already in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, it's a complete and utter joke. So Treylon Burks changed my mindset on him by showing up to camp in shape and ready. He has slightly changed even more of my mindset towards him by the plays that have been reported that he has made in practice from what we've seen. I mean, he's been better than I thought. But it is still too early because he's not going against other competition. He's still going against guys that are on the Tennessee Titans roster, right? So I am more optimistic that I will be able to raise my expectations. But, dude, this is way too early. I've covered way too many training camps to fall into that trap. It's a trap. That's what it is. And I'm not going to be trapped. Others can be trapped. You go for it. But it is too early to sit there and say, oh, man, well, he needs to be closer to Justin Jefferson. No. Like, let's temper and we know he has a lot of pressure on his shoulders. It's starting out well. But I got to see a hell of a lot more before I'm raising my expectations for him.
Yeah. So Keelan says Locked On Titans spilled the beans about that play. Well, I don't know if Locked On Titans guy has a drone to cover practice, because I have not seen him at any Titans training camp practices. And Mike Vrabel would shoot down any drone that is over the field. So I don't know what beans he spilled about the Treylon Burks play because he hasn't been out here at Titans practice. But again, for me, Treylon Burks, it's not just about the fact that he's in shape, but it's about how the Titans are using him throughout these first 5 days of practice. He's out there often. He's out there with Tannehill's group. He's lining up in different spaces. He's still one of the 4 or 5 guys who is returning punts on a daily basis for the Titans, and he looks explosive. And he's going through every rep that he has without any hiccups, like, you know, knock on wood, knock on whatever you guys have around you, but Treylon Burks
is practicing. No. In an era that not many guys practice, Treylon Burks is practicing. It's a good thing. And as a rookie, you have to have that. As a veteran, you need less of that. But again, I will say this, back in my day, back 10 years ago, when there was 2-a-days and KVB, Kyle Vandenbosch, was hitting heads with Michael Ruse as hard as he possibly can with red contacts in, those days are long gone. And so I think in 2022, with now the, you know, the bobbleheads on, the cushions, the concussion prevention, you look at that and I think you say, Treylon Burks is practicing. That's a great thing. He's not taking, you know, plays off. He's not taking days off. He is a young 20-something-year-old rookie that is spry, in shape, and practicing.
Yeah, and again, performing well, making catches across the field, blocking for his teammates after a catch too. So I am excited about Treylon Burks. And I do think it's time, like, personally, like, everybody has their own expectations for Treylon Burks. And, you know, I do think it's time for me to raise my expectations. When I was thinking he'd probably be around the 800 to 900 yard receiving range, maybe have around that 60 catches across the year with, you know, 5, 6, 7 touchdowns. I think I'm upping my ante. I think 1,000 yards is something that he's going to have the opportunity to do. And I think it's probably more than the 60 catches, because what I saw yesterday, and I said this with Sam after on our Titans Camp Live broadcast yesterday afternoon, The second touchdown, when Zach Cunningham was on Treylon Burks, that play was called for Treylon Burks. There is zero doubt in my mind that when the Titans got, when Ryan Tannehill got the play call from Todd Downing, when Ryan Tannehill told his teammates, and when they lined up, it was going to Treylon Burks 100% of the time. And so on day five, they're already calling a play specifically for him, which means I think they should be doing this, and they should have been doing this more with A.J. Brown over the last couple of years, is just say, we need a bucket, go get it from A.J. If you need a bucket, go get it from Treylon. And I saw that yesterday on day five of practice. That makes me feel good.
And Alton, you're there with me. I am a little scared to drink that Burks Aid. I'm not ready.
Because the last time you drank it, it had salt in it.
I'm not ready to put it to my lips. I'm just not. And it doesn't mean that I won't. And this is kind of the best part about the preseason and getting to see rookies, is you're going to see more of Treylon Burks than you see of veterans in the preseason, right? I mean, it's just the facts, because he has to play. They want to see him on tape. They're not going to play him too much. But to what you said, Austin, and how they're using him, I think why you answered the question the way that you did was because of what you've seen in the way Tannehill has used Burks, right? He coming into this, Robert Woods, like it or not, he's still rehabilitating his torn ACL. Now, may be ready, but he's still rehabilitating that. That's not 100%. Kyle Phillips is a rookie.
Kyle Phillips is not in the picture yet.
The most veteran guy that he has is Austin Hooper, right? So he can throw to, and we've seen that. He has to use Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. I mean, he literally is required. That's the reason why they drafted him, is for Ryan Tannehill. If we're going to take one guy away in A.J. Brown, we have to give you somebody. And the Titans and John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, gave him Treylon Burks. It is good to see that he is utilizing him. That is a very big positive, that they're giving Burks the reps and Tannehill is throwing Burks the ball.
Yeah, no doubt. So again, it's time for me to raise my expectations. And again, everybody has their own set of expectations and they're not all equal. So that's fine. I totally get it. I am raising my expectations for number 16 out there. Marvin says, what happened with the Phillips hype? So there, just quick note before we flip the Tuesday trivia on Kyle Phillips. Kyle Phillips looks phenomenal in everything he does in a one-on-one situation, whether it's a one-on-one open field drill, a one-on-one against the DB with a route and getting open and catching that ball. He looks great, but he has yet to break through the threshold of working with Tannehill. He's still getting most of his reps with Woodside and Malik Willis. When can Kyle Phillips break through and get those high-end reps with the other starters against the higher level defensive backs? Because I talked about this yesterday, and I do think Kevin Byard kind of sought this out. Phillips made somebody look goofy in open field drills. Kevin Byard stepped up and did what Kevin Byard does. Then in one-on-ones, Kevin Byard shut down Kyle Phillips in a red zone situation. Probably would have been a flag on the play on Byard, but still, it was veteran safety showing rookie wide receiver, hey, check yourself. You're not just able to juke everybody out of their shoes, not me at least. So I want to see Phillips, when does he take that next step to start working with Tannehill? So that's, I'm still very excited about Kyle Phillips and think he has a high ceiling, but I'm curious about what the Titans are thinking with him.
He's been a week 10 guy for me since he was drafted.
Well, I don't know.
That's what I think. I think that he will start to make a big impact by around week 10. Big impact. That's when his ability will start to come along. I don't expect it to be weeks 1 through 4, 6. I think it's going to be later in the season for Kyle Phillips. Okay. And, to respond to Jay Streets, he says, yeah, but were you drinking the AJ juice as a rookie, Zach? I'm guessing no. Well, you're guessing wrong. I had a fire hose, and I knew and felt like AJ Brown was going to excel early on as a NFL wide receiver. DK Metcalf was similar. I had actually more questions about DK Metcalf because of his medical past, because of his neck injury and some of the other things. But AJ had proven to me in college, Burks I didn't necessarily question Burks. I thought Burks was a good pick. Was I shell-shocked by the AJ trade? Yes, I was. I thought Burks was a solid pick. I thought to replace a guy, you had to take Burks because he was the last wide receiver drafted in the first round out of the six. So it was really what influenced was Burks showing up to OTAs and minicamps. And he has since, I mean, he's earned that trust back for me, at least.
And real quick, because one more note on Burks, one more note on Roger McCreary, because Todd Downing just said a quote, I'm reading from Terry McCormick's tweet, about Treylon Burks. Quote from Todd Downing, I'm excited to see Treylon Burks' growth. He's been doing a great job of taking the coaching points we are giving him and applying them the next time he's out there. And a quote from Mike Vrabel yesterday about Roger McCreary is that he doesn't make the same mistake twice. So you've got your first-round pick and your second-round pick, where your OC is saying how he does a great job of going from film room or the classroom to the field.
Film
to field, exactly. That feels like another Nate Washington quote. But film to field for Burks and Roger McCreary not making the same mistake twice. So you get two good athletes, but also two guys who get it mentally this early in their rookie year. I think that's the big-time positive.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, that gets you excited. It does, because you want to draft guys that work out. You don't want to draft guys that don't work out. And so far, it seems like this rookie class, they got a lot of weight on their shoulders because of where the Titans are. They still have Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. I mean, that's kind of the best part and a good defense. Those three things, I would actually say two because of the Ryan Tannehill thing. But Derrick Henry and the defense make you feel good. But what makes you feel good, better about Tannehill is how these new pieces around him are working. And that's only going to help the football team.
No doubt. Zach, it is time for Tuesday Sports Trivia. We have 10 questions. We've got to get 8 of them right. 7 sports, 3 world geography. Is that correct?
Yes, world geography. I want to get through those. Before we do, I do want to take a second. Thursday on A to Z Sports, because we have a big audience.
Yes.
Thursday, we have a massive announcement company-wide that we are releasing to the world. We're very, very proud about this. You know, A to Z Sports has been growing since we started this company in 2016, and now it is at its biggest point to date. And Thursday, I believe that all of our fans are going to love what we are going to do. It is something unique. It is something new. And it's been a lot of work in the making, but Thursday morning, we will unleash and announce our big announcement Thursday morning. So stay tuned and make sure you tune in on a Titans Thursday to our show.
And it will benefit Titans fans.
That absolutely will.
Yeah. No doubt. All right, Zach.
And benefit football fans.
Football fans and Titans fans locally and across the world. All right. Speaking of world geography trivia and Tuesday sports trivia. But first, tell us all about Wilson County Hyundai.
Yeah, Wilson County Hyundai is where you need to go to get your next ride, whether it's the Palisade or the Sonata or the Elantra or the Tucson or the Ioniq, which is battery-powered. Fuel efficiency from the Palisade and the Sonata, and you don't have to worry about fuel when it comes to the Ioniq. WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Payne Bone, family-owned and operated. Payne Bone is the owner of Wilson County Hyundai. It's family-owned and operated. If you need to buy a car or a SUV, you need to go to Wilson County Hyundai. They will hook you up with a great price. So make that a part of your buying process. That's WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Keep it simple with BetMGM. Today, you download the app, you use our code ATOZSports, you get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 with your first bet after your first deposit. Again, with the BetMGM app, code ATOZSports. Zach, let's do this trivia thing. All right, so we are at 80% through 3 weeks. We need to get at least 8 out of 10 today to keep up this pace. We've been on to a great start. Zach, let's roll.
What college did quarterback Rich Gannon go to? Colgate, Delaware State, Delaware, or Rhode Island? Rich Gannon, the sidearm slinger, lost the 2002-2003 Super Bowl to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Brad Johnson and John Gruden.
I actually don't know this one.
The Delaware State made like my brain ring. I think it is Delaware, not Delaware State. That was my gut feeling on it, so, but I'm not 100% by any means.
Michael Lombardo, who we've met several times, really smart football guy. He says Delaware.
That's what I think. I kind of agree with Michael. What college did Rich Gannon go to? Colgate, Delaware State, Delaware, or Rhode Island?
Now, we're getting a lot of Delaware. Scott says he thinks Colgate. MB says Delaware. Fonzo, Delaware. Thomas, Delaware. I think we go with Delaware. Let's lock that baby in.
You want to say it?
Final A to Z. Was he a blue hen?
Rich Gannon was, in fact, a blue hen.
All right.
Rich Gannon played for the Vikings in 1987, first year out of Delaware, retired with the Raiders in 2005, and led the Raiders to a victory in the 2002 AFC Championship game, only to get blown out by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I added that last part, but 1-0.
1-0 start.
1-0. This one is a little bit more difficult.
Okay.
In 2001, when Michael Vick was drafted number one by the Falcons, which team had the first pick before the Falcons traded up? In 2001, when Michael Vick was drafted number one by the Falcons, which team had the first pick before the Falcons traded up? This is not multiple choice.
You say you know it? I don't know.
I wanted to say it was the Chargers, but again, that's my kind of like gut.
Nate and Scott say Chargers because is that the same draft where the Chargers got LT, LaDainian Tomlinson at 5?
5 from TCU. Was that? That sounds right.
It could be the Chargers. I mean, we've got a lot. Scott says Chargers lock it in. Let's just go final A to Z, San Diego Superchargers.
The Falcons took Michael Vick out of Virginia Tech when the Chargers passed the pick.
Ah, look, because Seth said they got Breeze the first pick of the second round. That's right.
San Diego ended up choosing LaDainian Tomlinson with the 5th.
We were all over that.
That was pretty good.
Good teamwork. 2-0.
We also have a couple of themes. Jack of all trades or jack of all cleats, so they have to do with jacks, and international sports. Let's go to international sports, which start out, which of the following four nations was not a founding member of the International Ice Hockey Federation in 1910? Which of the following four nations was not a founding member of the International Ice Hockey Federation in 1910? France, Belgium, Great Britain, or Canada?
I don't think France is a big hockey country.
Where's Alex Doherty? Which of the following four nations was not a founding member of the International Ice Hockey Federation in 1910? France, Belgium, Great Britain, or Canada?
Jeff Rubel says France. Jared says France. Orlando says Great Britain.
Like Great Britain, I don't feel like I resonate with hockey with.
Max, I don't either, but 1910, they probably were. Bobby says he'd go France. Stefan says France.
You want to go with the chat? I don't have a good beat on this.
Paul says Canada. The others are in Europe. Read the question one more time.
Which of the following four nations was not a founding member of the International Ice Hockey Federation in 1910? France, Belgium, Great Britain, or Canada? He is correct with Canada. It is the kind of not like the others.
Yeah, but it says international, which doesn't limit things to Europe.
Correct.
We're getting a lot more people on the Canada train. But Canada was a colony of Great Britain, says Bobby. So I say France. Let's go France. Final A to Z, France. France.
A.
Not it.
The five countries that established the first hockey federation were all European nations. France, Great Britain, and Belgium, along with Switzerland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Bohemia, which is interesting.
All right. Well, 2-1.
All right, next question. That was tough.
Yeah.
In which NFL stadium did the De La Salle Spartans, that's a high school, streak of 151 consecutive games won end? This is funny. The De La Salle, do you remember this streak? They're gray and green. I know De La Salle.
California?
They're in California. In which NFL stadium was the De La Salle Spartans, which is a high school, streak of 151 consecutive games won ended? Edward Jones Dome, Quest Field, Sun Devil Stadium, or 3Com Park?
Quest Field is what? The hell's Quest?
Qualcomm was in San Diego, so
right, but I think it was also Quest at the time too.
3Com, what was 3Com? I thought was in California too. It's not the Edward Jones Dome.
Quest used to be Seattle Titans, Kyle says. That's so right.
What was 3Com Park?
San Francisco? But,
you know, De La Salle played a lot of national games because they were
Sun Devil Stadium would make sense too because they used that for a lot at Arizona State and also with the Cardinals. 3Com was San Fran. Yeah. Should we go 3Com?
Let's do it.
All right. Final A to Z.
Dang it. Quest Field.
Mm.
2-2. Bellevue of Washington. Again, national game.
Yeah.
151 consecutive games. 2004, 39-20. All right. So what's our
2-2? Not good. Finish strong.
No, that is not good. I had all the tools as a linebacker with the Rams in the 1970s, but then when the 49ers in the early 80s, I really started picking up some hardware. They won 2 Super Bowl trophies with me in the lineup. Who am I?
I mean, this got Scott Weaver all over it.
Jack.
Come on, Scott.
Plum Bob Roberts. Jack Hacksaw Reynolds. Jack Laser Level Liminich. What a great name.
It's Hacksaw.
It or Jack 80 piece socket set Richter.
It's definitely Hacksaw.
Man, Laser Level Liminich is a great name.
All right.
Are we locking that in?
We're locking in Hacksaw. Yep. Final A to Z to get to 3-2.
Jack Hacksaw Reynolds is correct. Using a hacksaw to cut off of his hair in a fit of anger after a loss. That's how Jack Hacksaw Reynolds got his name.
Yeah, that's super reasonable. All right, so 3-2.
Who did the Rams beat in the NFC Championship game on their way to losing to the Steelers in Super Bowl 14, not 4, 14. Who did the Rams beat in the NFC Championship game on their way to losing to the Steelers? So,
late 70s.
This is 1979. This is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
What? The Bucs sucked, right?
They
did. Scott says Tampa Bay lock it in.
It is Tampa Bay because who was the quarterback? Who's the first black quarterback to win for the Redskins? I can't think of his name.
Now you're throwing me off. Doug.
Doug Williams. No.
Doug Williams. Yeah, Doug Williams.
Doug Williams was the quarterback. This game, this 19, I know my Buccaneers history, it was a low-scoring game. Not as low-scoring as the 1999 NFC Championship game. I'm locking this in, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Do it. Scott was on it first, too. Do it, Bucs.
The Rams defeated the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 9-0 during the NFC Championship game for their berth to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Even with the loss, the Bucks still had a great season. The fact it was their only fourth season in existence.
Interesting. All right. 4-2. Last sports question.
Last sports question. We go to international. Which of these games is traditionally considered as the most traditional of all Irish sports? Polo, lacrosse, Gaelic football, or hurling? I guess hurling? Curling?
Hurling? Hurling.
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 Which of these games traditionally considered is the most traditional of all Irish sports? Polo, lacrosse, Gaelic football, or hurling?
I would say hurling.
That sounds the most Irish, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you watched The Luck of the Irish, the old Disney movie from like the early 2000s. Hurling. Now Ian says Gaelic football, and Ian lives in Scotland, which is a lot closer to Ireland than any of us are. he says Gaelic football. So do we need to chill out on our hurling real quick?
But hurling makes sense.
Okay, Ian says he's guessing. I do think hurling makes the most sense.
I think we need to lock that in.
Yeah, I agree. Now, Thomas is going back to the Celtic warriors. Hurling was done by the Celts back in the day. So let's go hurling final A to Z.
In Gaelic football, the ball is smaller in soccer than the cross ball.
So we missed it?
No.
Oh, it's just giving you
the
a history
oldest
lesson.
Of equestrian sports. Oh, okay. So traditional. This is a curveball. They're saying that Gaelic football was not as traditional. The oldest of equestrian sports, hurling is a stick. Oh, no, that's polo. Hurling is a stick and ball game that originally was played between neighboring clans and villages, making it the most traditional of all Irish sports.
All right, hurling, we got it. So we're at 5-2 now. I like that.
All right, three non-sports questions.
Yes.
What river runs through Baghdad? The Tigris, the Jordan, the Euphrates, or the Karun? The Karun, K-A-R-U-N. What river runs through Baghdad? Tigris, Jordan, Euphrates, or Karun? Karun?
Euphrates says Johnny. I thought it was Tigris. Scott says Tigris.
The Tigris and Euphrates are like in my social studies class in seventh grade. I just don't know the difference.
We're getting the most answers for Tigris and Euphrates. Paul says Tigris, lock it in. I think we go Tigris. That was my first thought too.
You want to lock it in?
Final A to Z, Tigris.
About 1,150 miles long, the name Tigris comes from Old Persian and translates into the fast one. It runs through Baghdad.
All right, there we go. 6-2.
What country has the most natural lakes? The United States, Canada, Australia, or India? Well, India has the size. What country has the most natural lakes? You know, the United States have a lot of man-made lakes.
Yeah, Canada's freaking huge. We just don't think about it. And like everything north of like the border is just freaking wilderness. Nate says
lakes can be frozen over too.
Yeah, and Nate, who lives in Australia, says it's not Australia. I think it's Canada. I feel pretty good about Canada here. Canada's basically a lake. Now, India, I know nothing about. But I do think it's Canada. J Street says India. Last day we go Canada, final A to Z.
It's between Canada or India. I just don't know anything about India.
I know that they have, I know that the way they water is on like a, they have like a slope style watering trickle down effect from like a, how they like water their plants.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it's called, but I think Canada, final A to Z.
This country has more than half of all of the natural lakes in the world. 9% of the country is covered in fresh water. And that country is Canada.
Yeah, got it. All right. All right, 7-2. We need this one bad.
This is the hardest one.
Oh, great.
What percentage of the River Nile is located in Egypt? 83, 22, 100%, or 9%? What percentage of the River Nile is located in Egypt? 83%, 22%, 100%, or 9%? I mean, I have no clue. The Nile runs, it's got to be 100 or 83. No, because it's Egypt. I don't know.
God. I think it's 9 or 22.
You think?
Yeah.
Is the Nile River the longest river in the world, right?
Yes, yes.
Longer than the Amazon?
Yeah, Nile is the longest.
So you would think it maybe is... I don't know.
Dang it, Bobby. Damn it, Bobby. Damn it, all Bobby. I know is it runs for Niles and Niles. Oh, gosh. Because it goes into several other countries. So I say 22% in Egypt.
We're going with logic, which usually doesn't work on trivia.
Yeah, Buck is probably less than a Nile away from me right now, but at the facility, but I don't know. He could be used for this. Let's go 22%.
Yeah. Did you say a Nile away?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that I didn't really think about that.
Oh, yeah. Man. Thank you. Jay is saying 9%. Jay is commenting 9% a lot. Ian's commenting 9% too.
All right. We got to go with something. 22 or 9.
Let's go 22%. Final A to Z.
Although it is generally associated with Egypt, the Nile's course runs through Egypt only 22%.
Boom! 8-2.
Huge, huge. That's a huge win right there.
Yes. Whew. All right. Guys, we got the last six questions right. We were sitting at 2-2 with a lot of work to go, and we just swept the last six. 8-2, which means we're sticking at 80%. Great teamwork. I got to roll a Titans practice. We'll see you guys after Titans practice. Sam, Phelan, and I will do another live to give you the news and notes from Titans practice. Don't forget, subscribe to our YouTube channel, because if you don't, you're going to miss really good practice highlights. We put everything up there, interviews, full drills for positions, everything we've got up there. So subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we'll see you guys at around 12:30, 1 o'clock today when Sam and I go live. We'll talk to you soon. Have a good one. Thanks.
Adios.